let me just set this up a little bit for those who weren't here at all. Friday night, we really talked about headship and what that meant and what it didn't mean, and about God's divine order and getting people free from the curse. And there's been so much incorrect teaching that has brought bondage into marriages in the body of Christ. And so God's not taken away from anybody. You should not have to lord it over someone else to feel important, to feel loved. It should be because of who you are in Christ. And then, you know, when God's called you as the husband to be the head in the natural, it's a very sacred thing and it's a very serious thing. And it really means I'm gonna lay down my own life, my own things that I desire, and I'm gonna seek the Lord and find out what is best for my wife, what is best for my family, how can I reveal Christ in my home? How can I reveal Christ in my home? Folks, Jesus Christ is not a control freak. He is not one who demands anything. There are people who are Christians all over America right now, not in church. And it's not because the Lord doesn't want them in church. It's because he doesn't make them do anything. He draws them. He loves them. He woos them. You know, so this whole control thing that has gotten into the church needs to be gone. And husbands, as you represent the Lord in that home, in the natural area, you know, you're going to need to be connected with the headship of Christ. That's why he says that God is the head of man, because he's, even in the natural, God doesn't want the husband in the natural making decisions without really seeking the Lord. But somebody has to make those decisions, and God doesn't want power struggles, and he knows that a godly husband is going to understand the sphere of influence God has given his wife. He's going to want his prayers answered. There's a scripture that says, men, your prayers will be cut off if you do not recognize that your wife is a co-heir with you, which means she has everything in the spirit that you have. She has the same God that you have. She has the same authority that you have. She has everything as a co-heir with Christ that you have. And if I knew, I would hope that if I, as a pastor, I realize as overseer of this building that Karen and Don and everyone else has the same Holy Spirit. And so I want ears to hear what God is telling them. But the Lord has given me the final authority, and then I'm going to pay the dues for that if I miss him. But thank God for his mercy. But it's only maturity that wants to hear the Lord through other people. So husbands, there should be a strong desire in your heart to hear the Lord through your wives and to take that to the Lord, and so that, you know, there's just this power to make right decisions. And then at the same time, the wife who has this husband who knows how to love himself because he's been set free and he's laid down his own agenda and he's really going after the heart of God for his family, there is not a wife who would have any trouble submitting to the Holy Spirit operating in her husband. And the Lord tells us, and I loved the definition when you got in the literal, that the husband's to love his wife, but the wife is to give deference, D-E-F-E-R-E-N-C-E, to her husband. And we looked that up, and most people had the word honor or respect, but when you look the word up, it means to lay down her opinion, to put her opinion as nothing. Well, do you know, we're not supposed to have opinions. That shows that the entire headship is about natural things. There are no opinions about spiritual things. There's the word. So an opinion is like, what neighborhood do we live in? Where do our kids go to school? What are we going to buy for groceries? What the budget looks like? It's these things that the Word of God is not going to tell you straight out exactly what to do and how. You've got to seek the Lord. You have to look at your family situation. You have to look at your goals for your family and your vision, and then you get to make those decisions. And if you don't have an ego problem, you will speak with your wife and listen to her and many times say, you know, that sounds good. But at the same time, she's learned, if she really loved the Lord, that if he wants to do this and she wants to do this, she's to let that go and be obedient to walk what God's called her husband. Why? To stop all the power struggles and fights over stupid stuff. But nowhere has the Lord ever stepped down off the throne, pulled his Holy Spirit out of the women and said, now your husband's your spiritual head. That is just totally false doctrine. All false doctrine tries to get Jesus out of the picture. Have you ever noticed that? All false doctrine is to have man doing what only God can do. And so be excited by that. Be excited that we're co-heirs. And if you get that revelation, man, God will begin to answer your prayers if your prayers haven't been answered under some wrong teaching. So we talked about all of that. And then we looked at divorce. I said, why do you look at divorce in the church? Because 55% of the church are going through divorce. Something's wrong with that. Many people here have been divorced. And we looked at that. We're not going to get all that today. But let me give you the heart of it, because it's going to help when we do this teaching for singles. God really clued me in on this when I was studying this. You know the scriptures that say if two believers get a divorce except for adultery, then they're considered adulterers after that point if they're with anyone else. Even if they're divorced. That's the Bible. Everybody's like, okay. The reason is because when God brings two people together, he sees them as one. When they're both born again of the Spirit and they've connected in an intimate way that God has set up to represent him and his bride, and you got to get the teaching and see all the scriptures. We're not going to do all that again. But marriage is from the heart of God, and it says this man is going to leave his family, he's going to leave his family, and he's going to start a new family, and he's going to find a godly Christian woman filled with the Spirit of the Lord. And when the two of those come together, it's not going to be lust. Lust is when you're after someone because of the pleasure they can bring you sexually. And your thought is more about fleshly pleasure. That's lust. And that doesn't last for long. That's very much seasonal. It's going to have you go from relationship to relationship. It's going to have you get in your marriage. And then when it's okay to be in that marriage, it's either going to cause a lot of perversions and the marriage will be defiled, or you're not going to be satisfied, because lust is never going to be satisfied with something godly. But when we look in a minute at God's passion, it's for the person. It's for the personality. It's for everything that person is. It's for what God has made that person to be. It's for how God has drawn you to that person to be one with, that God will be in charge in that life to make that marriage what he wants it to be for his glory. And so if you understand this, see, the Lord came up with marriage. If you're really not of the Lord, it really doesn't overly matter what you do. It's just going to make society more messed up. The more biblical a society is, the more order there's going to be, because God knows what he's doing. But truthfully, you know, hell's hot whether you got there, you know, in a nice marriage, having kids, and never doing what you thought was blatant sin. Is still the same. It's, you know, it's horrible torment compared to the people who are living totally demonic, heathenistic lives, and there's no question about it. It's all this. The final place of living eternity without Christ in your heart is horrible. So we are born to find Christ, and then we are born to find Christ, and when we find Christ, everything in our life is then changed by his presence and his word and what he says. And so what the Lord says about marriage, and this is his intention, because the Lord wasn't sitting there thinking, what is the devil going to do with this and how messed up is this going to be? He's thinking, this is what marriage is going to represent. It's going to be a husband and a wife leaving their family peacefully with healing, being nurtured and loved, not running from a bunch of mess and to make a new bunch of mess. We got lots of teaching to help you on that, Tuesday nights to help you on that. But the idea of the Lord is they would leave after they've seen a godly marriage, then they would be drawn by his Spirit, by just seeing this person that would really be a wonderful wife, would be a wonderful mother, somebody who would love their children, the way God would want them to love the children, someone who would be there for them in every situation, would know how to pray, you know, the Proverbs woman. And they would be so drawn to someone because they understand, we need to know this, the church used to understand this more, but we need to understand, when you come together with someone, whether you have the country or the government saying that you're married, God really sees union, intimacy, coming together as one flesh. He sees that only through the eyes of His drawing you together and you being married, because you know it's forever. That's how the Lord sees it. It doesn't matter how society sees it. He destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah because they saw it wrong. The flood came at Noah's time because the whole world had gotten so perverted in sexual sin. See, God doesn't say, okay, I'm wrong. Man, I made that sexual stuff so much fun that, you know, darn, there's just no way these people could do it my way. No, God doesn't. He doesn't change. He goes, I did make it great because of what it represents in me. And He changes not. And the wrath that's coming on the world and the tribulation that's coming on the world, you watch as the world becomes more and more reprobate and more against how God has set things up. And let's face it, if you don't believe me and don't do this, click through the TV channels for a few minutes and it won't take you 5 seconds to know things have gotten worse. Listen to the music. You can't even go pump gasoline without somebody driving up with filth, and they're calling it music coming out of their car, and it's shaking all over. Everybody's gonna hear it, you know. So the enemy goes after this more than anything else because of how it mocks God. Now let me say this. Repentance is awesome, because I would almost venture to say that in this room, there would probably be less than 20%, if even that many, who have really lived a pure and holy life and understood these things, because they haven't been taught. We've been taught legalism, which brings death and stirs us to want to sin. But we haven't overall been taught the heart of God. And when we get the heart of God, we can understand, wow, He's right. I don't want to be part of the statistics of divorce. I don't want to be part of the statistics of disease. I don't want to be part of, God did this thing His way, and there are consequences when you don't do it His way. Thank God that He's so awesome. There are people here who have awesome children who did not have a clue what God intended when He set up marriage and having children. But God is faithful even when we're not. God is so faithful. So let me tell you what, there's not a single child who's been born on the planet that isn't an unbelievable blessing sent from God. What a God who will bless us in the midst of everything. So I want everybody to know, you're a blessing no matter how much your parents didn't understand the things of God. And that's a lot of us too. But when we have understanding, we can begin, see, repentance and say, okay, Lord, I didn't understand Your way of doing things. You know, the things in society drew me the wrong way. I just didn't get it. But I agree with You. That's what repentance is. Repentance is saying, God, you know what? I agree with You. So forgive me for everything that's happened in my life before I understood, so that I could agree with You. Repentance is really turning from what is against God and agreeing with God because you agree with Him. So I just want you to understand why God says these things about divorce, not under condemnation, because repentance will clean the slate if it's sincere. Sincere repentance means you're not going to do it again. Sincere repentance means, put it this way, you can't hear truth and then sin and say, oh good, I have repentance that I can pull out of my back pocket and say, oops, sorry God. No, that's not repentance. And you're hardening your heart, and you could actually find out that you're deceived. And you could possibly, honestly, lose your salvation and not even know it. God's not playing games, okay? He's a real God. God's like, you know they can't live my way without my Holy Spirit in them. Because the Holy Spirit in you is the only one who can make this real for you. The Holy Spirit in you is the only one who can come deep enough and say, you know what? wow, God does have something awesome. God is an awesome God. I want to do it His way. And God, get everything out of me that doesn't want to do it Your way. Holy Spirit, get everything out of me. Break every lie. Get rid of every spirit of lust, everything out of me that doesn't agree with You, because I don't agree with that. And that's the beginning of sanctification. That's the beginning of getting free. And that can be a process. So here's the reason the Lord is so specific on this. And I'm not going to get into this again, but if you look at the scriptures, it's right before I'm about to teach. Here's how the Lord looks at it. Two people are to be drawn together by the Spirit of God for the purposes of God, to glorify God, and for the blessing of God to be there. And out of that, He will bring forth a family. There will be relationships. There will be, it will just glorify God. And you will learn who He is in it more. You will learn how to love Him more. It's just His plan. So, for every relationship you've had that doesn't qualify for, unless you're already married and that didn't qualify, God will make it qualify now. Okay? So, the Lord looks at those two people when they come together as one. We call it the honeymoon night, should be, because they've waited to do it the Lord's way. He, at that point, says, they are one. And the Bible says, from Genesis, at the very beginning when God set this up, Jesus Himself preaches it two or three times, and He says, what God has put together, let no one pull apart. Now, here's the thing. God sees them as married, even if the government doesn't. See, God's laws are higher than the governmental laws. That's why He says in His word, now if that person is put away, or if that person divorces and is with another, they're an adulteress. Isn't that what the Bible says? Yes. If you don't believe me, get the tapes or read the first part of Corinthians. Now, some of you are thinking, oh no, what do I do? Because that's our situation. What you do is you really, really repent that you didn't know God's ways. Now, if you married someone before and you're divorced to someone who wasn't a believer, God never saw that as marriage. In the sense, well, let me say this. You've got to get the teaching. He saw it as marriage if after you got saved, you both chose to stay together and work it out. But in the eyes of God, if an unbeliever wants to leave a relationship, it's okay with God. It's in the Word. Why? Because until the Holy Spirit in this person and the Holy Spirit in that person comes together and brings a union, there's really not the kind of marriage that God says can't be separated. Because this is spiritual, okay? And then that oneness. Now, because God has made a way for people coming in who come in after, they get saved after they're married, for people who've made all these messes, what the Lord says, and you'll have to get the tape, there's a whole teaching on this, what the Lord says is, if the unbelieving person wants to stay there and there can be peace, then God will set them apart and begin to work on their heart to get them saved. So stay in that situation. But if that person is not going to get saved, they're totally against the things of God, there's no peace in the home, the Bible says that you are free from that situation. That's the Bible. It's not some, you know, why did He pick that one? Because He knows. His intention is the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit and these two people are going to bring them together, and they're going to be able to work this out, glorify God, and do it His way. So the Lord says, okay, the Holy Spirit's in you now. It wasn't in you before. You're still married. The other person is doing their husband thing, their wife thing. They're okay. You know, you got children. And God says, you know what? I'm going to move heaven and earth to see that My Spirit gets inside of your spouse. You just keep believing. Isn't that awesome? That's the faithfulness of God. But if that person really wants to leave, the Bible says, let there be peace in the home. And the Lord may choose to bring you someone else. He may not. Okay? Now, if you were both born again, if you've ever been in a situation where you were married to a born-again person and you divorced,